Yo, 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 yo,
yo,
yo,
yo,
yo,
yo,
yo,
yo.
It is Owen from the Hip Hop Show. You know what it is.
You're official on the team?
I'm on the team. I feel like I never left the team. Did I? We just dapped up in the studio.
Yeah.
I feel like I never left, right? I know it's been a minute. I haven't been on air in a long time.
You may have been away physically, but you've always been in my heart.
I appreciate that's the place I want to be, Simeon. That's the place I want to be. I also want to be in the studio right now, because right now we have a very, very, very special
guest indeed.
So we told him a little something. We gave him a little sneak peek of what we want to talk about on air today. But this particular artist is very special to Samir and I.
Indeed.
And the reason why he's very special to Samir and I is because I don't think he remembers this, but he was our
first ever interview on radio
for both of us. So we both started at the same time. We both had our first. I mean, that wasn't my first ever radio experience. I did radio in December. I did the Soundbox with Zin, but Samir, that was definitely Samir's first radio experience.
Yeah, so it was my first not interview, but like radio experience definitely.
It was my first radio interview for sure.
Damn.
With someone.
Yeah.
And it was like a quick 10-minute phone call, with the one and only Young Shogun.
Yes,
Who is in studio with us. It's a very special moment.
And the
very
crowd goes home.
Yeah. They don't go home.
They're going crazy.
They're sticking with us right now. They're sticking with us for sure. Young Shogun, thank you for joining us.
Man, thank you for having me. That was let me just highlight how beautiful that moment was of just that
intro. I
feel
like
it feels like
a real beautiful moment, man.
Yeah.
We're coming on. Samir and I are coming on a year of doing this nearly. I'm coming on a year since our induction day.
Wow.
And so it feels really full circle to start season 4. Hip Hop Show, the way we started season 1, the Hip Hop Show, with the one and only Young Shogun.
That's wild.
Isn't that wild,
bro? Oh my, yo, thank you for having, man, this is so special. See, now you got me cheesing. You can't see it, but I'm cheesing.
He's cheesing real hard, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but we're going to cook. We're going to cook today, and we want to cook. We're going to get a couple of bars from Shogun before we head off air here. But before we do that, we wanted to talk some shop a little bit and talk a little bit about how it's been being Young Shogun, particularly. I imagine it's been great for a long time, but lately specifically, from what I've seen, it's been fantastic. Show, how are you going?
Man, fantastic. I took the words right out of my mouth, man. I've been good, bro. Life is happening. It doesn't stop, you know, and in the best way possible. I feel like just having a lot of amazing experiences, meeting a lot of amazing people, doing a lot of amazing work, like, internally, and it's all coming to fruition, you know?
And I clearly it is, because most recently nominated for the second year in a row with the Music Victoria Awards Best Hip Hop Work 2023.
This is big.
That's massive. A massive, and I think it's a indictment of how crazy you are at this and how good you are in the Victorian scene right now. So first of all, talk a little bit about that honor of being nominated and what it means to you.
Man, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. I think for me, I'm like, I how do I put this into words? It's like, it's honestly a trip because I look at my own progress and I look at how far I've come, and yes, it's been like a crazy journey, but at the same time, it's like I also undersell myself a lot, you know?
Yep.
So getting this accolade, or hopefully getting this accolade, you know, it's such a pleasure, you know? I just wouldn't have imagined it. And especially because I feel like my output isn't the same as some other artists, and I feel like I like to play my cards very close to my chest in terms of, you know, being online and all of that type of stuff. It's like I'm a very closed person, I think.
Right.
So to see that people are watching and to see that people appreciate the music for the music is, it's a blessing.
It was something I wanted to probably talk about a little bit later, but I'm glad, really glad you mentioned the idea of keeping your cards close to your chest and that idea of a social media presence. One of the interesting things that you've sort of briefly mentioned, hinted at, is the idea of needing a social media presence to be considered a great artist or be considered a massive deal.
Mm.
Talk a little bit about the idea of not doing that and what that means to you and how you feel about that idea of artists who need to have the social media presence.
Yeah, man. Whoa. Okay. We're into it already.
Into it.
Came out the gate swinging, bro.
Hey, man. You sparked the conversation. That's what it is.
I appreciate it, man. Yeah, I think for me, I like my favorite artists, the people that I look up to as artists don't have a heavy social media presence, you know? It's like they can't, like Kendrick Lamar, for example. You already know. Yeah.
That's a great example.
Like, you know, comes out when it's like, yeah, it's time. I came to share my art with you. I hope you enjoy it. And now I'm going to go back to my community, to the place where I feel completely comfortable and I'm going to keep doing what I do, you know? But I also think it's important not to mistake not posting or not being on socials with being complacent, you know, with being like, oh yeah, like I don't need to do anything. I think for me, it's like when I show up on social media, I want to be as authentic as possible. I want to have fun with it. I want to be myself, but then I don't want to overextend myself and be like, oh, I need to give you everything, because I feel like it's important to also keep like parts of myself sacred, you know?
Sure. That's really important.
You gotta protect your peace to a degree. Because I mean, I'm like, just as someone who's trying to sort of build a social, you know, presence, it's tough, and it can get the best of you. So the fact that you know that sort of balance, or maybe you don't, you know, it's a long line of figuring out how much is too much and how little is too little, you know?
Yeah, man. And you know, I think the most important thing that I've learned is how am I showing up in a way that feels authentic? Because I don't want to you know, post the TikTok that I saw blew up the other day just because it blew up. Like, that's, trying to follow a formula, it's like, nah, man, like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this in a way
that
feels...
It's about being you.
Exactly, bro. It's about being you. Yeah.
I guess it's probably the same thing for your music as well, right? In a way where you probably, like, you know, there's artists who drop every week and there's artists who drop, you know, every couple of years.
Yeah.
You're probably somewhere in between that margin, that spectrum, I imagine.
Yeah.
But, like, it's the idea of you don't want to put out work that's half-assed, right? You want to put out work that's you and that fits where you're at in life. So I imagine social media is probably the same.
Definitely, bro. Definitely. And... I don't know. I feel like I'm at this weird point with dropping music where it's like I want to release music that is real and is dope and I enjoy, and therefore other people are going to enjoy it because my taste is fresh, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I had to
do that. I mean, you went wrong, so like...
Hey, come on now. But like what I'm trying to say is that it's like I'm at this point where it's like, maybe I'm also being too guarded, you know? Maybe I should just let people see the process and be a bit more open with that because I think, man, this is something I've been thinking about a lot recently and talking about with the homies and shit. But it's like I am at a point where people look at me and look at the accolades and look at the spot, and it's like, and they're like, oh man, you're dope, you're doing it, like I can't believe you're there. And for me, it's like, I'm nowhere near where I'm trying to be, you know? Like for me, I look at myself and I'm like, yeah, it's great that I've been able to do these things and master be on the path of mastering my craft, but I'm still like, bro, they're still so far for me, you know, and I'm not there yet. So maybe, I don't know, man, maybe I should open up the journey and let people witness it, you know?
I think it'd be interesting.
Yeah.
But I also think that, again, going back to what you were saying earlier, the art of being you is really important, and it's one that's lost in our industry today.
Yeah.
You know, the idea of being unequivocally you while still putting out the work and putting out the content and doing all that sort of stuff. So I think, man, I think you found a great middle ground, and it's why I wanted to talk about it, because I think it's so interesting. It's something that makes you so different.
Oh,
you know, we were talking about it and doing a bit of research for this interview. There's not a lot we can find about you, which is a great thing, because some people all you have to do is, you know, half Google their name, you got all the search history.
Listen, man, that digital footprint is scary.
It is scary. It cooks a little bit.
Hey, man.
I've said some fucked up shit in my time, man.
Yeah. Haven't we all, bro? Haven't we all?
For
haven't
sure.
we all? But I don't know, man. I think a part of it is also like, you know, just appreciating you know what's in front of me and not trying to be so connected to my phone and not feeling like I have to capture every single moment,
right.
You know? And like one of my like favorite artists, his name's like Mac Homie. He's was part of the Griselda crew. I don't know if he still is, but he, like, his whole thing is like, you know, you can't like you can barely find his music on streaming services. You can't find his lyrics anywhere. Like if you want music from him, you basically have to buy it from him. Like
kind of crazy,
you know, like which is nuts. But
real
he's
old school,
literally, bro. But he's still able to make a career and still able to be dope and have a following. And I think, you know, when you treat your art like the commodity that it is, it starts to become a bit more precious to everyone else, you know.
Right, right. Keeps it sacred, right? It keeps it special.
Yeah, man, for real. Like, I don't know. I feel like there's a fine line between oversaturation and not doing shit, you know?
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Hey, I think part of what you were saying there as well is this idea of, I suppose, not only just keeping that sacred, but also keeping the work going. And you know, you've been doing a lot of work recently.
Yeah.
You've been creating a lot of smoke. You know, and part of smoke recently is that new track with Ivan Ooze.
That was good. That was good, bro.
That was Smoke by the one and only Ivan Ooze featuring Young Shogun.
Good, bro.
It was all right. I tried to make it smooth, but it's fine. It is what it is. We're here now. We're in the question. Talk a little bit about that process. It's a couple months old now, and it's had a bit of time to breathe and be out there in the world.
Yeah.
And I think that's always a really nice time to reflect on a project like that, because usually when you catch an artist for a new release, it's right as they release it or before they release it or right after they release it. So you're getting the fresh sort of experience.
Yeah.
We're a couple months in now, right? It's been out there in the world now. You've had the music videos out, which is stellar, by the way.
Thank you.
It was. He showed it to me. This is hard.
We were vibing to it.
Man, I appreciate y'all, bro.
So talk a little bit about that process and being involved with Ivan about that in regards to that process.
Man, that's the brother right there. I love Ivan, man. He it was funny as so I met him through Jujo, and you know, like we were all just hanging out at the studio. You know, Jordan was there, Maz was there, like everyone was there, right? And then he was like, oh yeah, like Jujo was like, oh, I've been working with Ivan Ooze like recently. I was like, true, like I remember this name from like back in the day, you know, from like way back in the day. And I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. And he came through and bro, we just all hit it off, you know. It was like, it was really, really cool. And then he hit me up about you know, making a track together, because we have like, we all have like heaps of music together that's probably never going to see the light of day, you know. But he was like, oh man, I'm like working on this project and I want you on it, and how would you like to be on a single? And I was like, yeah, cool, whatever. He sent me the beat, and like, bro, I was just in my phone for the next day, just writing, and I was like, okay, I'm happy with this verse. Went to Ivan, we recorded it with Judge, and then, yeah, man, like, and now that it's out, it's cool, you know?
Is that the process for you in terms of at least featuring on a song, and does that differ to when you do your own stuff as well, or are you like lyrics first, or are you music first, a beat first, what sort of?
Man, I'm a beat first, I'm working on something at the moment, and it's very interesting because I feel like I've been a feature artist predominantly for the last like couple years, right? Like just had a lot of features, and then like with my own stuff, it's like, yeah, I'll put it out here and there, whatever.
Sure.
But with my own process, I've realized that it's like, you know, I'm working on something with one of the homies, he's executive producing it, and I've realized my process is like, okay, I'll go write something and then I'm like, oh shit, I'm actually not happy with that. So I'll go rewrite and then, you know, and then like, I feel like my process has been a lot more involved than what it typically is. Usually it's like, okay, write a verse, boom, cool, that's dope. If I need to adjust anything, I'll adjust it. But for the most part, it's like, I work quick, you know, Like I can just get a verse out in like half an hour or whatever. So
what's the most amount of takes like you've done for a song?
Takes?
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
see.
Not necessarily takes, but like, you know, something you weren't just happy with the way it was coming out, and you kept
tweaking.
Yeah. Literally.
Man, to be honest, it's been for this project. Cause like, well, I'm about to give out some information.
Ooh, yo, are you about to say it was something that?
Hey man, if you want to cook on show here, you can.
Let me state your
work and your accreditation.
Oh man, that's crazy. Yeah, that's wild. Okay, so on this on this project. It's, okay. it's a little EP. Mm-hmm. It's a little EP. Yep.
Project.
Yeah, man. But on this project, I sing a bit, right?
Ooh. Let's go.
Bro, I can't sing, man. I can't sing usually, you know?
You never know until you try.
Exactly.
You never know until you try.
And I tried and I found out, bro. I found out. That's not me, bro. You feel me? But yeah, so I've been trying to sing. Long story short, I've been trying to sing, and I've been having to retake that like crazy, bro, like crazy.
Fair enough. That's really interesting because I think you talk about some of your favorite influences, and we've done an interview in the past. You can go listen to it on demand.
Yeah, go check that out.
Yeah, it's a little short one, nothing compared to this one, but I think one of the things you did mention is your influences, and one of the influences you brought up was Mos Def.
Yeah.
I think you brought up Kendrick as well at the time. Yeah. Both of them not necessarily known for being, you know, rappers that also sing on their work. So where does that come from? Where's the idea of go, oh, actually I want to sing on this one. Where does that start, and how does it get to the stage where you're on the mic singing?
Or was it just like a fuck around find out situation?
Man. You know, to be honest, I was like, I really want to play with what I can do. I really want to play with the things that I hear in my head, right? Because when I hear a beat, I'll hear something that isn't there yet.
This
you
is
know?
So interesting to me.
It is like really how artists like develop like this initial soundscape in their head. Like it's always something I've asked like anyone I've interviewed, because every single person, their process is. Yeah. Like, okay, maybe there's like general steps that you do have to follow, but everyone's like initial sort of, manifestation of it is different. Unique and different.
So talk through yours. What's yours look like?
Yeah, man. Okay, this is crazy. It's so strange to like dissect it, you know, because for me it's just like second nature at this point. It just happens. But
consciously thinking about it is a different thing.
Yeah, man. What's it called? So there's conscious incompetence, right? Which is where you know that you don't know some shit.
Right.
And then there's unconscious incompetence, where it's like you don't know what you don't know, right? Then there's conscious incompetence, like, oh, I know that I don't know this thing. Right. Then there's conscious competence, then there's unconscious competence, where it's like, I'm just doing this and I'm good at it and I'm just gonna keep doing it. So I say that to say this, breaking it down, man, it's crazy. But like when I hear a beat or when I hear an instrumental, whatever, I'll hear a melody, or I'll hear like a line, or I'll hear something that just kind of like spawns from nowhere, you know? It's like I'll hear like, oh, okay, this could sound dope, like even a melody or whatever. I'll just hear it in my brain, and then from there it's like, oh, okay, let me put some words to that, let me put a feeling to that. Or typically it'll be like, okay, this is the instrumental, this is the feeling that it's bringing out of me. Right. I'll hear a melody and then put the lyrics to that feeling with that melody, you know? Wow. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's a special talent. You know? I hope you know that, right?
Bro, I appreciate that, man. And like, you know, sometimes it sounds great, other times it doesn't.
Doesn't
you
work.
Know? Yeah, yeah.
But I think part of that as well is that idea of almost like color matching, right? You're trying to match what you hear in your head sometimes.
Bro, that was a sick comparison, you know? That was sick. Yeah, bro.
Gotta bring those voices in the head.
Literally, bro. Hey, man. Yeah, I sound like a schizophrenic, man. Not there's anything wrong with that, but no. Shit, bro.
But I think it is a bit like color matching in a way, where you're trying to get that right. And you know, and sometimes, for me, especially when I'm working on stuff and I'm trying to, you know, color match whatever it is I'm trying to work on.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that idea of going, something about it's not right. I don't know what, but something about it isn't right.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You're not, maybe not able to articulate what's wrong with it, but you keep cooking until I think that's the word of the day.
We're cooking and we're letting you guys eat. Whoa, bro,
hey, connected the metaphor. That's crazy.
Set the table and everything.
I really did like that. Thank you for dropping knowledge on us. The more you know with Young Shogun.
Oh, that's crazy. He had stuff prepared. That's crazy. That's crazy. The more you know with Young Shogun.
Bro.
Is that a segment on this show? Have I missed something?
No, I did this to Marzi once, because he dropped some knowledge about like diegetic music. We were discussing.
Marzi's a freak like that. Marzi just knows music.
Yeah. Amazing. He's so like knowledgeable about stuff. It's crazy. I think it was Metro Boomin's like the Spider-Verse album drop.
Banger.
Absolute banger. Certified banger. So we were discussing about it. You know, a few songs, and he told me like how certain music is sort of we're listening right. as it happens in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So there, I think it was diegetic or didactic. I'm not sure.
Didactic?
I think so. Maybe
that sounds like
didactic. Didactic. And then I don't know, but it was very interesting. So
might be dropping knowledge sometimes yeah. like that. And Young Shogun also dropping yes. knowledge.
Apparently,
like
bro.
Well.
Yeah,
apparently
shit.
So. Apparently so.
No, this is the real knowledge, strength,
that
and integrity.
Is.
Hey,
is,
man. Hey, don't. Hey, bro. Hey, no. Shout out Mazi, bro. Shout out Mazi.
That's it. Hey, I want to talk briefly about some of the recent, I guess, things you've been a part of that, you know, aside from music.
Yeah.
You recently had the opportunity to be a part of a Breaking Bread project with Loaf Apparel.
Yeah, yeah.
L-O-W-F is how that's spelled. If you want to check them out, they do great. They're a clothing line. They do great work. Yeah. And they've also done some great work with artists. Shout out Noah DaCosta, actually.
Uh-huh.
Friend of the show and on the show
I
as well.
I had my mic off for some reason, so you probably heard me.
Shout out Noah DaCosta. It's me just yelling across the room. Who's also a part of that project as well. Talk a little bit about... are you part of the Converse All-Stars as well?
Nah, I'm not.
No?
That's not me, man.
They need to get onto that.
At Converse.
Hey,
y'all,
man.
Y'all better be listening to
someone
this.
Someone put him on the phone, man. What's going on? Let me design a shoe, bro. What's going on?
Let's do it. He can be Tyler the Creator too, you know? That's
yeah.
it. That's
hey,
crazy.
Yeah, that's me. Nah.
He had a Tyler the Creator. He had that locked and ready.
I did, bro. I did. Always, bro. Always.
No, but what I was wanted to ask is the idea of being a part of things outside of music like that in that instant. Is that something that you want to do more of, or is that are you picking and choosing? You know,
yeah,
talk a little bit about that.
Man, see, bro, I'm a sucker for the idea of culture, right?
Right.
And you know, we all collectively are trying are a part of a culture whether we realize it or not. And for me, I think that there's a big. Yeah, I feel like we're lacking, you know? I feel like we as Melbourne, we as Australia, man, I feel like we're lacking in certain aspects of especially hip-hop culture, you know? I think we borrow and take from everywhere else and we kind of neglect to see what's in front of us. So through things like Breaking Bread with Loaf, like that... Breaking Bread with Loaf, that's crazy.
Yo,
you just clocked?
That's crazy.
Yo,
yeah,
yo,
literally.
No way you just clocked
that. That's so funny, bro. That's
no way you just clocked
bro,
on it.
Bro, really? I literally just clocked that, bro.
That's so funny.
Nah, but like I did.
Feel silly.
I just
you
did
too?
Well. Yeah.
I thought it was. I knew. Like I was like, oh yeah, Loaf, Breaking Bread, it makes sense.
No, bro. That's
funny.
Because
for some
bro.
Reason, Loaf in my head plays as like lo-fi. For
yeah.
Some,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Rather than.
And that's probably what it is as well. That's why it's spelled that way, right?
Yeah. But anyway, man.
That's so funny. We just caught you literally. That's crazy,
bro. That's wild.
Shout out
Loaf
Apparel.
Yeah, man. Shout out Loaf, bro. Breaking Bread. That's
please
wild.
Sponsor.
Yeah.
I didn't say anything.
But no, man. The homies at Loaf, bro. Like I think they, like, bro. They. So it's just one man and his wife. You know, like it's
so
two
dope.
People running that whole thing, and like, and they, their level of care towards not just like. Oh, okay, we're trying to establish ourselves as a brand, but no, they care about artists, they care about
presentation.
Yeah, man, and that shit is special, bro. I think like, I was having a conversation with them because they threw an event for Marley Jose, like his EP launch.
Yes.
Shout out Marley Jose.
Yeah, man, that's the brother.
What a project, by the
dude,
way.
Dude, we're going off topic.
Yeah,
here,
take it, bro.
I genuinely like that had to be like the album of the last season.
Yeah,
for me.
Yeah,
like,
it was really good.
An amazing project. But yes,
Marley's
the gig you were talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, yeah. So man, I met Marley in Brisbane for Big Sound last year.
Right.
And he, bro. He is a different breed, bro. He is special, man. He is special. And the homies at Loaf recognized that, you know? And they were like, we're going to fly you out from Perth to play, to like do a little project launch.
Beautiful.
You know? And it was, man. Like, there was just like the feeling. I left that place feeling so inspired because I was talking to the bro and who runs Loaf. And he... Bro, his just care for this, for the scene and for the possibilities of what we can be and creating these special moments, you know? It, like, bro, it, I left so inspired, bro. I left so inspired, you know?
It's a great culture to be a part of, right?
Yeah, man.
I think
man.
These people, like, who believe this strongly who that, you know, they can make an effect on this culture. Like, I gotta give the shout-out to Terrence as well from Fried and Tasty.
Yeah.
Dude, this guy, he believes the same way. And he's, like, he's provided such a space as well, you know? And it's great to see people actually offering this sort of love, you know, it doesn't get showed. Like you said, Australia's like lacking.
Yeah,
we can't sugarcoat it for anyone.
Yeah.
So we move as a collective.
Yeah.
And I think artists as well need to sort of understand that.
Yeah.
I'm not calling anyone out. I just think like...
Somebody are dropping bombs.
You know, no, because me and Marzi actually had this chat as well.
Yeah.
We were like, one person is responsible for everyone's image.
Mm.
We're moving as a collective, and if we want to make a good difference, we have to, you know, think about everyone. Like you're representing your culture, your home.
Like that's an amazing point, and like you know, I think the thing that's so hard about that is like it feels. It, you know, like as close as we can feel as a community, it also feels like, you know, we're in this by ourselves. And I think a lot of people have this misconception that there's only one spot at the top, you know, so they feel like, oh, if this other person is elevating above me, then they're going to take that spot. When in reality, it's like, you know, culture isn't any one person. Hip hop isn't any one person. And like, and I think we should be taking serious notes from the States and from the UK, you know?
Yeah.
Like
UK's a really recent example as well.
Yeah, yeah, man. Like, you know, it was, you know, I think it's, for me, I get real pressed about it because I'm like, man, we have.
We do too, honestly. We say it all the time on air.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things where it's like, for me, I'm looking at what the UK is doing, right? And I'm going, you can, off the back of like guys like Stormzy and Skep and, you know, like OGs, JME. You know, you look at all the greats from yesteryear or that are, you know, still making music today.
Mm.
And you can say, yeah, that's off the back of them. But really, it's the industry in general, right? It's them coming together to create that culture that uplifts the scene.
Yeah.
And suddenly people are now looking at the UK as a you know, a bed for music. You know, you go there to create music and come back. Pania just did it. Pania went there, made music.
Yeah.
I know plenty of other artists who are creating music right now that are going over there, creating music, coming back here and dropping it. You know?
I think even Noah wanted to go.
So it's like it's a place to be when you want to create music. So
yeah.
I think that's something that we can have.
Definitely.
It does suck that like low-key we don't have that space here. Like we do, I think we do, it's just it's not as maybe centralized as I'd want it to be.
You know? And we don't have the infrastructure. And I think, you know, a huge part of it is the fact that for the UK, there's an audience for it.
Right.
We look at it from like purely numbers, right? Like,
man's about to cook.
That's what I'm saying,
he said,
bro.
He gave me the tightest look and he was like, all right, I'm about to go in.
Numbers.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Hey, bro, thank you for acknowledging that, man, because I'm about to cook, bro.
Cook.
But, you know, it's like UK is so much older than us. They have such a, they have a, I don't want to say richer history, but they have a,
longer history,
you know? Yeah. And I think it's difficult, it's so hard for us to compare ourselves to the UK or even America, right? Because of the fact that America, hip hop was born out of the ghettos, out of the slums, out of struggle, right?
Sure.
And their struggle is very out in the open, you know? It comes from a direct line, like the pipeline from slavery, right?
Yeah.
You look at the UK and like you look at the amount of knife crime, the amount of murders over there and the immigration from the Jamaicans, I want to say, to the UK, right? And how that affected every, like, you know, there's history there, right? Whereas here, bro, what do we have? We have a very strong immigrant culture, right? Where, you know, a lot of us are first, second, third generation Australian, right? And that is an experience in itself. And I think, you know, like I think it's really sad because even with like our indigenous population, right? It's like that. what you'd think is the direct pipeline for us in hip hop, right? You know, so I, yeah, man, I don't know. It's like,
it's why,
yeah,
I love artists like Kobe D, or like Ziggy Ramo, artists that really not just lean into the culture, but lean into being Australian artists, right? Australian artists first and foremost, right? And that's not a dig at any artist going, you know, to America to make music
or, you know,
that's, if you want to get your bag up, go get your bag up. That's, you know, that's love.
Chase that, bro.
You know, but. Yeah. For me, I love the artists that deeply root themselves in Australiana because I feel like that's helping build a culture. I always say it on air, and I've said it on air before, I love when an artist, hip-hop or not, sounds Australian.
And that's
not a dig on artists that, again, that's not a dig on artists that don't sound Australian, that are from Australia. But for me, I love hearing, because that means that we're one step closer to having a sound, right? We're having that, you know that distinct UK grime culture, you know that sound. You know, when we go to America, we go West Coast versus East Coast, you know the sound. I think we're always getting a step closer when we have artists like that doing
work. For sure. I think, you know, I think the thing about creating a sound here is that it's very difficult because there's just so much exposure to sounds that aren't from here. You know? So if we were to say what does Australian hip hop sound like, I couldn't tell you, you know, because there's so many different definitions of it, you know, and I think there's that kind of like outback rap, or there's the generations
outback
before.
Rap is crazy.
But like, you know, I think something that I've noticed that we don't do is like, we don't big up our OGs, the people that came before us. And I'm not just talking about like, you know, Bliss and Esso and Hilltop Woods or whatever, but
it's Jones.
Yeah, man. Like, bro, perfect example, man. Enfer Jones is the OG, bro. Even like, you know, you look at people like Remy, you know, people that have done it before, but haven't been given the same amount of love. And I think it's like, it's so hard because we are the first generation. We are the people that are coming together. So we're the people that first. Like, if you look at it as an equivalent to America, it's like we are the people in Brooklyn that are congregating to create our own thing, you know? And I think, you know, regardless of whether people stay here, people go overseas, whatever happens, it's like eventually, whether it's the UK or America, they're going to say, oh, whoa, there's all these people from Australia that are coming out here, or they're going to come down here and be like, oh, wow, there's something happening, you know? And, like, I get really jaded when I talk about this sometimes, but I also think that it's like, you know, it's going to happen whether we like it or not. This culture is booming and it's just a matter of time, you know.
I think it comes from a place of optimism for me as well. I say all those things to say that I feel optimistic about where we're going. I don't think we're there yet. I think we're so far away.
We got ways.
But I think we're getting there, and I can see it, you know, in artists like Young Shogun. I can see it in artists like That Kid Maz. I can see it in, you know, Creed the Kid, in Panya, in Kobe D, in, you know, Ziggy Rama. I can see it in artists like that we're building this culture on little by little. Hey, one of the other people, or one of the other groups, I suppose, that's building the culture up is The Operatives, which you're part of. It's a managing group. I want to talk a little bit about them and give them some love as well. Speak a little bit about some of the opportunities that they've been able to provide you. I think it's been a little while now that you've been a part of them. How long roughly?
Probably like 3 years two or three years.
That's a fair amount of time. Talk a little bit about the love you get from them,
man. Like, if it wasn't for The Operatives, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now, plain and simple, you know. So Jerry Poon, the dude who runs it,
shout out Jerry,
man. That's the Don Dada, you know. That's the OG. He's also my manager, and he has, like, he's put me in rooms that I shouldn't be in the best way possible, you know, put me in rooms with people that double my skill level and has taught me so much. And through The Operatives, I've met, you know, Jordan, I met That Kid Maz, I met, you know, Southside Denny, like, all the homies, you know, and that's definitely given me the space to articulate the things that I'm feeling in a way that feels natural and feels real and then gets it heard, you know? So Yeah, man. I'm super grateful for the operatives. The events that we put on are insane, you know, like crazy, bro. And Jerry's like, Jerry's in his bag, bro. You know, Jerry's in his bag, man.
Jerry is in his bag. And I'm really glad you mentioned some of the stage work that you get to do with the operatives as well. Because one of the things that I think really not just sets you apart, but sets you above some of the artists that we have in this country is your stage presence and your ability to craft these beautiful pieces of work and then put them on stage and make them feel like they're larger than life, you know, and feel like there's a story and a journey through them. I had the honor, and Samir had the honor as well, of seeing you live. And when I say, first of all, you need to go see Young Shogun live, because if you haven't...
You're missing out.
What are you doing? What are you doing? Talk a little bit about crafting a stage presence and the idea of, is that just inbuilt in you? Is that just built in you? Or was there a journey that you had to go?
He just built different.
Some artists are just built like that. Are you just built like that? Or is that something you had to work on and create within you to present to the world?
Man, I think it's a bit of both. You know, just like with anything, you know, some people just have a natural knack for something. And then they're like, okay, how do I refine this? Because, you know, it's that age-old saying, talent will only take you like 20% of the way, right? So the first time I ever did a show, shout out, this is going to be an obscure name because a lot of you haven't heard of him, but this is my my brother Wendell. He's someone that I started making music with.
And shout out Wendell.
Shout out Wendell, bro. And he put me in contact with the person that gave me my first show. And it's funny, as 3K was on that lineup, like crazy as, but... That first show, like, I remember I got on stage and, like, I just gave it my all, you know? I just energy came out. And I couldn't tell you where it came from. I couldn't tell you how I did it, but I was like, yep, okay, this is what I do now, you know? That was my first proper show. I did another show, like, before that, where it was at the Melbourne Arts Centre.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that was my first ever time touching a microphone in front of an audience. And even that, like, it was just like...
Oh, you meant blessing the microphone.
That's what I mean, bro. You know, like...
It do be blessing.
Bro, like, I can't tell you where it came from. It's like I'm a bit of a showman by nature, I think. But yeah, man, it was just good. And then as I kept going, I was like, oh, okay. Now that I know that this exists, I'm capable of doing this. How can I take it to the next level? What are things that I can do to get a crowd involved more? What are things that I can do to create a sense of, oh, whoa, like we're all having a good time together type shit, you know? So, yeah, man, it was like, and I also like, I used to be like a facilitator, like a workshop facilitator for like young people like that are going through, you know, hardship, whatever.
Cool.
And... through that, I learned a lot of like facilitation skills, right? And like how to control a crowd or how to not control, but how to allow a crowd to feel, you know? So then through that, I pick up little tips and tricks of like, oh, okay, this is how people would typically react to this, you know? If I was to give advice to anyone that like is planning a live show, it's just like study people, you know, like see how people operate to certain types of stimulants and how can you take people on a journey? And that sounds so cliche, but how can you not just like, oh yeah, they went on but how can you give them the ups, the downs, pull them into your life and out of their own life for like for 5 minutes, for half an hour, for an hour, you know? Yeah.
First of all, thank you for sharing that. It's a special way to process. I want to go back to a Virgil Abloh quote. Rest in peace, Virgil.
R.I.P.
But I think, and I'm going to paraphrase the quote because I was trying to find it in front of me, but I couldn't get it. But essentially, the quote says a lot about spend less time creating the content and more creating the space that you surround it by, right?
And yeah.
Almost, I don't know if I got that word for word, but I think it's pretty close. I think you get the idea.
Yeah.
But it's the idea of build, you know, if you're into art and you want to create, if you want to put it in a museum, build a museum. Build what it's surrounded by, because then that makes it feel a lot more important, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the same with your stage presence, right? That's not to say the work's meaningless. The work's fantastic.
Yeah,
the work alone could speak for itself, right?
Yeah,
But it's the world you build it in, right? Yeah. And I think that's what I feel when I'm watching Young Shogun on stage.
No, it was
thank you, bro.
It was really special for me as well, because like, you know, I'm new to this place. Like, I'm just starting out at Sin. You know, I don't know the culture that much. So my first gig, which was actually the Burnt Gently pre-party.
So everyone
who we interviewed on the first day, which included Anfa Jones, DT,
Bilali.
You, and then Bilali was there as well. And shout out to Ceasemate as well, and Viliani, they were there. But just when you came out, I was like, okay, yo, this is turning up. What's going on here? You know, I'm there with my camera, just like messing about, and then I'm dancing center stage, but then I'm seeing like other people not as comfortable. But then slowly, towards the end, they're all just there, and then. Like you said about your ups and downs, he ended the Shogun ended the performance with like a very mellow, intimate. he brought the crowd to the floor. He was like, "Yo, this one's from the heart," you know. And we chanted like Kendrick Lamar's like, "It's gonna be all right," and then he segued into his song. So as a first performance, like you made. It was memorable as hell.
Thank you, bro.
So,
and I had a similar experience as well.
Sinners at the Chapel?
Yeah, Sinners at the 20th anniversary. It was a really special moment for me because it was the first time I'd seen an artist that I'd just interviewed. I think I'd interviewed you like three days prior.
That's crazy.
And the first time I'd seen an artist I'd interview, like in the flesh, like live, performing, right? And it was a really special moment because I think it was like an internal event, right? We had a couple of tickets sold outside, but most of it was Sin people, you know, in the building celebrating Sin's 20th anniversary.
Yeah.
So there wasn't too many. It was like maybe 50 people max in that building. But it felt like there was more when you were performing. Wow. It felt like you filled the room, you know?
Whoa.
And I think that really speaks to what you do and the work that you create.
Yeah.
And I think part of your stage presence is the people you surround yourself with as well, right? And one of the things that was memorable about that for me was your family was there. I think both your parents were there, right?
My mom and Emma and her boyfriend.
Right. Yeah, they were there supporting and filming and doing some work for you as well. And talk a little bit about the sort of love that they give you and the support system that you've got in place in a situation like that.
Yeah, man. So it's just me and mom. Let me compose myself.
You're good.
Been me and my mom for ages, you know, like, I don't know my biological dad, and then I had a stepdad for a while, and then like he left, and it was like just me and mom, you know. So she, like, we have been through like a lot together. We've been through a lot together, you know. And growing up, I was like, you know, I was a little bit of a troublemaker as well. So like she's had to get me out of a couple spots and had to pick me up like in moments where I was really low. And we've had a very, like, you know, we've had a relationship that's just brought us super close. And it's not just because that she's my mom, but it's because we've had to work on our relationship and we've had to, you know, give it the time and space that it deserves. So for me, like, when mom sees me perform, it's like, you know, it's crazy, bro. It's like, yeah, man.
That got me like tearing off low key though.
No, bro, no, good, you know, we're supposed to feel these things. Yeah, it's fresh, you know, but I love her, you know. I love her.
Shout out Mama Shogun.
Yeah, Mama Shogun, man, you know.
That's it
Yeah, man.
Hey, I'm really, first of all, thank you for sharing that. It's really, that's a really sensitive moment. And look, we like to have fun here always, and, you know, I think it's important to get to know artists to that level, at least, you know, and know what speaks to them beyond just the music as well.
Yeah.
And I think emotion's a really important aspect of music as well. And I think that's why it's important to feel those things. One of the things that I read that you had said recently. Here we go.
There
goes that digital.
Uh-oh. That digital footprint.
They're gonna get you.
I told you.
If I'm happy, I want to make music. If I'm sad, I want to make music. If it's raining, if it's 48 degrees, or if in assimilation, it doesn't matter. I want to make music. Is a quote that you said, and it's a quote that I really like.
Yeah.
And I think part of why I really like it is this idea of using music as an outlet, and, you know, in those moments, you know, using it almost not as a vice, but as an outlet almost.
Yeah.
And talk a little bit about that and what music does for you as a person.
Yeah.
You know, beyond Young Shogun.
Yeah.
But also, what it does for you as a person, I suppose, really.
Man, hey, bro, these questions, you guys are hitting, bro.
Bro.
Out of the park,
appreciate that.
He's carrying this right now.
Yeah. This is a team, bro. I feel it wouldn't be the same with just one of you. I'm feeling the energy.
I had to bring it because we've both been wanting to do this for like the longest time.
I've been waiting, bro.
I appreciate it.
Because, you know what? I can't even say it.
Hey, we got to do this annually, bro. I swear. We got to do this annually.
Lock it in.
Once a year,
I'd love on any platform. I'm just saying. We got a limited time on Sin.
Season 1, 2024, you're coming back. That's it. I'm gonna shit.
That's it.
Sorry.
No. Don't apologize. I'm loving this. I really appreciate it. So, for me, music, what it does is, I feel like I didn't have anything apart from, and like this sounds so cliche, bro, but it's like
But it do be like that sometimes.
That's what I'm saying. Bro, you know, like, so I got kicked out of school when I was like in year 9, and I like, that's what I'm saying, bro. That's what I'm saying.
If you just missed it, even if you're just listening, they just hey, no.
Listen,
nah,
school.
Yeah. Stay in school. We love school.
But Sin endorses school.
Yeah. Sin does endorse school. And we at the hip hop show also endorse school.
Yeah, we love school.
With that being said,
I got kicked out of school, and then for ages I didn't go back, and I was just a little troublemaker, bro. I was up to no good, you know, and I got introduced to this studio called the School the School of Loving Music. It was the School of Living Music, right? But they gave me a 1-hour slot every Friday, and like it's open, it's like it's an open thing, you know? Yeah, they gave me a one hour slot every Friday. That's what they do. That's their role, and it was for free. And yeah, man, like if it wasn't for the School of Loving Music and the people there, shout out Andrew McSweeney, you know. If it wasn't for the, and Jesse, man, that's my brother. But if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here, you know, like whether that's inside music or outside music, like I would have just gone down a very dark path, because music for me was an outlet and an opportunity to do something that's bigger than myself and to express myself in a new way and find a place for all of these emotions and feelings and things that I didn't know how to express in a healthy way, you know? Mm-hmm. So for me, music was like, it was the only thing that made sense, you know? And Even with my jobs now, it's like I can get a job for a bit, but I'm like, I'm bad, bro. I'm so bad. I'm so irresponsible when it comes to jobs. I'm like, bro, I can't, like, this just isn't doing it for me, you know? And so, yeah, man, like, music is, it's like, it's the thing that I love the most in this world. It's the thing that makes everything make sense, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that. I might actually have to give that a check if that still like exists, because
sounds
really interesting.
Man, it's for kids who have been like, you know, through the legal system and had a bit of a difficult time, and I've been lucky enough to go in there and help out every now and again, and yeah, man, it's a little spot in North Melbourne. Like, anyone listening at home, and check it out, man.
For sure.
Like, yeah.
Is that something that you're passionate about, that idea of giving back to the community and, like, helping younger kids specifically about? Because you talked about being a part of the workshops that you used to do previously.
I think
I know the ones. I don't think we'll name them on air as a company. But
yeah.
I think that sort of thing sounds like something that you're really passionate about.
Yeah, man, because for me, like, I got involved with one of them when I was younger, and they, like, you know, I was working with the, I was a participant in the workshops. Yeah. And then they were like, oh, do you want to come, you know, join the team and volunteer and help and, you know, whatever. And so I was doing workshops, and that, I don't know, bro, like, it gave me a sense of purpose, because I was, all of a sudden, I went from being the person that needed help and you know, being that dysfunctional kid to, you know, being able to like articulate myself and being able to have conversations like, you know, in a healthy way and you know, because I used to be so angry, bro. I used to be so angry and so sad and so frustrated.
Can't imagine that.
That's what I'm saying, bro. I'm sure
everyone has their moments and days, obviously. You know,
Sure.
But
me now compared to me when I was like 15, 16, bro, like completely different people, you know, and that's part of the reason that I'm so close with my mom. It's part of the, you know, because she was the reason that I started went to those programs in the first place, you know. She was like,
how good are moms?
That's what I'm saying,
dude,
bro.
Dude, honestly, so like, segueing, but like literally, if you don't have that sort of support system, like,
it's so hard.
It takes a lot of strength to just go through life in general. And when you have sort of like, you know, not strong relationships, you know, you sometimes have to put your ego to the side as well and try to work on it, you know. I've been doing that recently, you know, and it works wonders. It works wonders because when you're like, if you're gonna be bitter about it and be like, oh, you know, it hasn't worked out. It's been bad ever since I came out of you, you know. I mean, rather than saying that and believing that and be like, all right, you know what? If I just give this a shot, you know, having that support system around me, having that sort of love, maybe not unconditional, but just better terms, comfort you.
Yeah.
Bro, it is such a boost.
Definitely.
It's such a boost.
And,
Sorry to cut you off.
I think it's really important as well to remember that relationships with parents are like, can be really difficult, especially like through teenage years, you know? So difficult to not be like, you're the reason that everything's messed up, you know? But like,
it leaves a bad taste, like, carrying through adulthood as well. So you spend a lot of time to, like,
trying to unpack it for sure. And, like, it's hard because you know, like, a lot of the hardships and a lot of the negative things about our, quote-unquote, negative things about our own personalities are the things that stem from, like, early childhood. That's what I believe anyway, you know? It's like,
Makes sense, man.
And so I think it's like trying to break down those walls, and it's so hard because it takes two to tango.
It does.
So it's like, if you
sometimes you just don't have the other person though.
Exactly.
So you gotta.
Sometimes you gotta step up.
Sometimes
you know?
It just takes one to tango. You gotta be like that sometimes.
Literally.
And you know, I think it's real special. You know, it's real special being able to. Being able to put aside your own stuff that you're going through to be like, you know what?
Chuck your ego out the door.
Yeah, man. You know what? You're just a person, and you had a child, and you didn't know what to do with that child, and that's okay, you know, because
I heard it somewhere as well. I was like, you know, you gotta understand that your parents are also doing life for the first time.
That's crazy, bro. I couldn't imagine having kids, bro, and like being like, oh, I just know what to do inherently, you know?
Exactly.
That's wild. Yeah.
But I do want to have kids, not gonna lie.
Fair enough.
Hey, we're just gonna play matchmaker here. Anybody, unless we have a partner, then I'll probably shut up.
Hey, man. Hey, I'm keeping my cards close to my chest,
that's,
man. I ain't saying
okay.
Nothing.
That's A-okay.
That's okay.
I don't know nothing. I haven't seen nothing. I don't even know where I'm at right now. That's crazy.
You're at Sin. You're at the hip-hop show.
Yeah,
here.
I am.
Young Shogun in the studio.
Yeah, I am.
Show, I want to talk to you a little bit about, obviously you talked a bit about your upbringing, a little bit about, you know, what childhood was like for you. What would Young Shogun say, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years, what would a young 10-year-old Young Shogun think of Young Shogun now?
Man, that's crazy. That's crazy. 10-year-old me, I think 10-year-old me would like me a lot, you know? I think 10-year-old me would be like, yeah, you're cool, you're doing it.
You valid?
Literally. I think 15-year-old me would probably hate me, or like 13 to 15-year-old me would probably hate me because he's like, you're talking about your emotions. That's not cool, bro, you know? But yeah, man, I think, in all seriousness, I think the younger me would be very proud of what I'm doing right now, you know? Yeah, man, I think about this a lot. I think about this a lot. And
so
I,
you should.
Yeah, bro.
You should.
It's so important.
Gotta smell the roses sometimes, right?
Bro.
Yes. It's really important.
Bro, who let you cook, bro? You're cooking.
Bro.
You've been cooking all day, bro. What's going on? But seriously, bro, like, it's so important. It's so important, you know? And, yeah, I think the younger me would be impressed and the younger me would be proud and yeah, man, like, be proud that I took the chances and took the risks that I needed to take to get to this point and put myself out there and, yeah, man, and like, put in the effort, you know? Put in the effort. Yeah.
Right. Right. I think it's really interesting you said that, like, around 10 years old, probably would have loved you, and then 15,
yeah,
maybe not so much,
you know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's speak to future Shogun, right? Mm. What does Shogun look 10, 15 years from now? What do you hope to look up to in that person?
Man, you know what's crazy? Mm. On the way here, I was like, okay, if you guys hit me with the, what advice do you have for people in the future?
Right.
I was gonna
love that people just get on the way here think about that. Think what about we're gonna ask. Yeah.
Because that's always the one question that comes up matter what, know? But it's like, 10, 15 years?
Yeah, go. Let's go. Let's go full career. Is that what you're saying? 20 years, 30 years maybe?
Whoa.
Young Shogun in a future from now, far in the future from now. Yeah. What do you hope he is?
Man, I just want to be good, bro. I want to be comfortable. I want to have made a living from music, being able to travel when I want, seeing the world, you know, put my mom in a nice house, put my family in a nice house, you know, be able to take care of my friends if they need it, you know, like, just be comfortable, bro. Financial freedom and the, you know, have a happy family. I want to have, like, 6 kids, bro. So, like, all of them good, fed, you know, going off to school, by that age, you know?
That's beautiful. That's amazing.
Yeah, man. Like, I don't know. I don't want to be, I hate feeling blinded by the promise of having it all, you know? It's like, I don't know if I need that. I just want to be able to live comfortable
just
and free.
A little bit.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Shogun. You better hit something.
I was like, go on. I'm sorry.
I have to think about this.
No? Yeah, hey, bro. You know that little breath sometimes that people take before they're about to speak. We all just hit that, bro.
We all hit it.
But yeah, I just really wanted to say, like, I think for me, when it comes to, like, the future and picturing, you know, the ideal version of myself and picturing this dream almost. It's like, I think it's also really important to realize that that person and me are the same person, you know? I'm the person that needs to create that. So it's like, well, my advice, my unwarranted advice is, like, you know, close your eyes for a second, like, take a deep breath and imagine you in the future. Imagine you in the future, the ideal version of yourself. And, like, open your eyes and now realize that that person is you and you have all these amazing things, these amazing relationships, that future version of you has those relationships, is, like, stable, all of that. And I think it's important to remember that they got that by being courageous, you know, by taking those steps, by doing the things that is scary, you know, by making that song, by making that cringy TikTok video that you've been thinking about, by, you know, like, asking that person out, you know, messaging whoever, like, you know, they did that by actually being courageous. And I think that courage is such an important trait to have, especially if you have an ideal version of yourself in the future, you know?
Now, the way I'm about to chop this up into the most hardest audio ever.
Yeah, yeah. Fresh, bro. Yeah. Fresh.
Hey, who let you cook? Who let you cook?
Hey, bro, we're all cooking. We're all chefs in the kitchen.
We're all chefs in the kitchen. Wrist twisting like a stir fry.
Come on now.
Thank you so much to Young Shogun for coming on, blessing us with his presence. Shout out to you too, Owen. Appreciate you big time. I'm glad you're back on the Hip Hop Show team. And yeah, unfortunately, that's the end of our show, and I want to close on that note. But yeah, thank you for listening in and tuning in. We love you guys, to whoever does, you know, lend us their ear to bless you with. But yeah. It is unfortunately the end of the show, and Yeah, it's been your boy Samir. Go tell someone you love him and have a good rest of the night. Peace out.